What's up, everybody? It's good to see you guys tonight. Hey, listen, man, one of my favorite times of the month, some of you guys don't know this, but we, when we celebrate baptisms, we have all the 6th through 8th grade together in one room. Usually, we do it a little different, and I know some of you 6th graders were maybe a little confused tonight. I apologize about that, but the point is that, man, we get to celebrate life change together in one room, all 9 of these students. Let's give it up for them again. That was awesome. Amen. It's cool. It's good to see you guys tonight. Tonight, we are in our last week of a series that we've called Battlefield. Now, before we get to Battlefield, I want to talk to you about two quick things that are very exciting that are coming up. Next week, we have what's called Sugar Fest. Yes, Sugar Fest. And let me tell you what it is. It is a night of more candy than you could think of, right? It is filled with craziness and games and fun. And we want all of you to come in your favorite costume. Now, here's the thing about costumes. There's a little bit of guidelines to that, right? It can either be a character, like a cartoon character or a Disney character or something like that. It can be a career, so like a profession, a businessman, businesswoman, janitor, garbage man, whatever, doctor, nurse, teacher, all right? And the third thing is that it can be a superhero. So you guys need to come in one of those three, either a career, a character, or a superhero. And here's the thing. Tonight, need you guys to listen. Need y'all to listen to me tonight. I know there's a lot more people in the room than normal, but I need you guys to listen and listen quick. Got some important things to talk about tonight. When you go to your small group tonight, all of you are going to get a couple of these cards. Right? On the front, it's got the Sugar Fest logo. On the back, it's got some information. Let me tell you why these are important. These are not cards that you just throw at people at your school, or you put it in their locker, or you put it on their desk and like try to sneak it by them, right? Here's the point of these cards. I want you to pray about somebody, right? Pray about somebody that you need to invite to come with you to Sugar Fest. Because next week in this room, every single student that's here will have the opportunity to make the most important decision of their life. And we do Sugar Fest and events like that for fun, but we also do it because we want to let some of your friends that have never heard the gospel message, we want them to hear it. And we want them to make a decision to follow Christ. All right, so pray about who to give these cards to and go up to them and just invite them. They may say no, they may reject you, they may throw the card in your face. But hey, you've done your part. You've invited them, you've let them know about it, and that's all you can do. That's all you can do. All right, so here's what I want you guys to do. I want you to turn open, you should have a Bible underneath you or in front of you, and I want you to turn open to page number 1177. Page number 1177. Now, here's what we've been doing. Guys, I really need to ask that you listen tonight. I need to ask that you pay attention. I need to ask that you don't focus on the people near you, but you focus on the word that is in front of you and on what I'm saying to you tonight. So here's the deal. If you don't, then you're going to miss out on maybe a message that God wants you to hear tonight. You're going to miss out on something very important. Up till this week, we talked about all kinds of things, right? Week one, we talked about how there is more than just the material, physical world that you and I see every day. There is the spiritual world that is unseen, and we call that spiritual warfare. The fact that there is a battle that is taking place every single day. And then the next week, we define what that battle was about. The fact that Satan, right, is one that the Bible says prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. That he's got a plan for you, and his plan for you is to steal, to kill, and destroy, right? And so we talked about that, and we talked about we need to respect his plan. But we also need to pray scripture. And we're going to look into that a little bit more tonight. And then last week, Pastor Kevin, my friend, was here, and he talked about angels and demons. And how when we look at biblically, when we study angels, it always points people to Jesus Christ. And so I know that you guys may have questions, you may have thoughts that may haven't been answered. Maybe you'll have a chance tonight in your small groups to talk about that. But this is where I want to go tonight. Tonight, I want to end our series, and I want to talk a few minutes about what Scripture calls the armor of God. The armor of God is perhaps the most important passage of Scripture. And the reason why is because it tells us the things that we need to help us fight in the spiritual battle. Now, understand this, that if you were a Roman soldier back in the day, right, you didn't put on armor to run away from your enemy. Can you imagine that? If you put on all this armor, it took you like an hour, and then you just fleed away from your enemy? That would look kind of crazy, kind of funny. People would make fun. You put on the armor of God to engage in the battle. You put on the armor of God to be involved in the battle. Because without the armor of God, can you imagine if you went into a war without your armor? It wouldn't go well. It just wouldn't go well, right? There's no way that it would go well. If you play baseball and you try to play baseball without a glove, not a good idea. Not a good idea, right? Or you try to play football without your helmet. Dude, concussion, right? Concussion, not a good idea. But listen. We do the same thing all the time, students. We try to go into the battle without wearing the armor. And I want to be honest with you tonight. Every single piece of the armor of God could be a separate message in and of itself. And we obviously don't have, 2 hours to go through that. So I'm going to go through the armor of God pretty quickly. But what we've encouraged you to do all month long is to memorize this passage. It is to know the armor of God, to pray the armor of God over you, to literally put on the armor of God, much like you would put on physical clothing, that you would put on your spiritual armor every single day. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I love a good war movie, a good battle movie, you know what I'm saying? And there are some movies, right? There are some movies that are out there that just like, I don't know what it is, man, but when I see like certain clips, dude, I just get pumped, you know? Like, I'm just like ready to fight. Not fight somebody, but just fight, you know? I'm ready to go. And so tonight, I want to play one of those clips for you. But I need you to listen, because part of why it's so good is you've got to be able to hear the dialogue that's going on. All right? So check it out.
Dark Sauce, what a pleasant surprise.
This morning's full of surprises, Leonidas.
We've been tricked.
I'll be moving a few hundred.
This is a surprise.
Silence!
This isn't a lie.
We heard Sparta was on the warpath. We were eager to join forces.
If it is blood you seek, you're welcome to join us.
But you bring only this handful of soldiers against Xerxes? You see, I was wrong to expect Sparta's commitment to at least match our own.
Doesn't it? You, there. What is your profession?
I'm a potter, sir.
And you, Arcadian, what is your profession?
Sculptor, sir.
You?
Blacksmith.
Spartans! What is your profession?
You see, old friend, I brought more soldiers than you did.
Did you hear that last line? Man. I love that last line. I brought more soldiers than you did. And he had like not as many, Trust me, he just had not as many. But the whole point is I just love getting pumped up and inspired, right, by movies like that. Now, here's what I want to do for the next few minutes. I want everybody to read with me in Ephesians 6. Now, before we do that, let me give you a bottom line. Let me give you a statement tonight. And I know some of you I've noticed making notes on the bulletin envelopes. Let's not do that. The reason why you have a bulletin of ours that has M12 on it is so you can take notes. Okay, so take notes on that. But here's what I want you to write down if you're taking notes. Here it is, the bottom line, key statement. Here it is. The armor of God helps us stand in the battle. The armor helps us stand in the battle. Now think about this. If a Roman soldier, the minute he was knocked off his feet, the minute he was to a knee, the minute he was on his back, the minute he was on his stomach, right? He became defensiveless and offensiveless. And so when we put on the armor of God, when we spiritually put on our armor every day, right? It helps us to stand in the battlefield that we go into. It helps us to stand in the battlefield that is waiting for us. All right? So I want to read this passage, and this is what I want to do tonight. I want to simply go through this passage with you together very quickly. First verse in verse 10, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." Now let's stop right there. This is a key statement. This is a rhetorical question. You don't have to answer it, but he says, be strong in who? In the Lord, right? Sometimes the reason why we get into the battlefield and we feel defeated or we fail or we fall or whatever, insert the word here, a lot of times is because we're trying to fight the battle on our own strength. We're trying to fight in the battle or on the battlefield, right, by our own ways or our own strength. And what the Bible says here is so good. It's so important for you, so important for me. It says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. See, when we go on our own strength, we become weak. It's just the way it works. We are not strong enough, students. You are not strong enough to fight the battle that takes place spiritually every day. You're just not. No offense, neither am I. We are not strong enough to take it on by ourselves. It's just not going to happen. And then moving on down to number 13. It says this, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist." Now, here's what's interesting about what Paul does in Ephesians is he gives us six pieces of armor, okay? The first three pieces of armor are armor that we actually put on. We, like we would clothing or an item, we would actually put these on. And he starts with the belt of truth. Now, imagine this. What does a belt do, right? It holds your pants on your waist, right? It holds everything up. Now, imagine if you were a Roman soldier, you had a sword in your right hand, and you had to hold your pants up with your left. It would be a bad day for you, right? Because you would have one arm that was not able to be engaged in the offensive battle, right? And so what Paul says here is he's saying, spiritually, put on the belt of truth. Put on the belt of truth. Truth, students, truth exposes the lies of the enemy. That's what truth does. The truth is in the Bible. The truth is God's word. And what Paul is saying is put on, buckle around your waist, the belt of truth. Because here's what's going to happen. The enemy is going to do everything he can to lie to you. We've already talked about this. The enemy is the father of lies. His native language is to lie to us. That's what he wants to do. He wants to steal and kill and destroy. And a big way he does that is he lies. Right? A lot of times for the girls, right, we've talked about this, but the lie is it starts on the outside and gets into the inside for a lot of you. Because a lot of you believe in this lie of self-image and self-worth instead of finding your identity in Christ and looking into Scripture and seeing things like what he says when he says things like, you are of infinite value, ladies. That in 1 Corinthians 6, the Bible says that you were bought with a price. You are of infinite value. Or in other passages when it talks about how wonderful you are, wonderfully and fearfully made in Proverbs. But see, the enemy likes to lie to us, and he wants us to focus on the outside instead of what's on the inside. And for guys, the lie sometimes is the complete opposite. A lot of times it starts on the inside and leads to the outside. We start with pride or ego, something that's inside of us, right? And it affects our outward living. It affects the way we look at people. It affects the way we treat people. And so the bottom line is that the belt of truth will help us. It helps us to be able to see truth and tell the truth from the lie. The belt of truth is huge. And then Paul says this. He says, with the breastplate of righteousness, still in verse 14, and with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Students, this helps us to be rightly related to God. The breastplate of righteousness helps us to be rightly related to God. Did you know that the Bible actually says, it's a beautiful verse, the Bible says that you and I, as Christians, as believers, we are clothed in the righteousness of God. We are literally clothed in his righteousness, that when God looks at us, he sees his righteousness. The Bible says it like this: he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So when we put on the breastplate of righteousness, we are literally clothed in the righteousness of God. And then he says, this next verse, he says, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Students, wherever we go, we need to have the right pair of shoes on. Can you imagine if you were to walk? It would be like, I don't understand how you guys like to walk in gravel barefooted. I don't get it. To me, it's like one of the worst feelings in the world, you know, when I have rocks sticking to the bottom of my feet. But listen. As a soldier in a battle, if your foundation was faulty, if your foundation was uneven, if your foundation wasn't strong, then you weren't going to be able to stand. And when you can't stand on a firm foundation, then you can't fight. You can't be offensive in your life. And that's what Paul's saying. Have your feet fitted with the readiness, the gospel of peace. That wherever you walk, the peace of God, the peace of Jesus Christ goes with you. That you bring peace wherever you go. Because you have the feet of peace. You have the gospel of peace, the shoes, the readiness, the gospel of peace on your feet. Then he says this, these are three pieces. Those are the three pieces that we put on as clothing. These next three pieces are the pieces that we take up to fight. He says the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Now, students, here's the bottom line. The enemy is going to try to do anything and everything he can to throw things at you. The Bible calls it fiery darts. And the significance of this is that a Roman soldier would have a shield. Now, this is not just this little rinky-dink shield that you guys buy at Party City when you're Thor, okay? We're talking about a shield that when you get behind it, your whole body fits behind the shield. I mean, I don't know how much it weighed, but a lot, okay? And we're talking about a heavy-duty, manly, womanly shield, all right? That's what we're talking about. And so when a soldier would have his shield, right, he would be able to hide behind it. So when the enemy was shooting all these arrows, literally the material on the shield was covered in this oily-like substance so that when the fire would hit it, the flame would go out and it would protect the enemy or would protect the fighter. Now listen, the enemy, life is not always perfect. And I think you need to know that. Things happen in life. Stuff happens in life. Sickness happens in life. People get cancer. People die at a young age. Gossip happens. Bullying happens. All of these things happen. Families get broken up. Things happen in life. And a lot of times, the easy thing for us to do is we could get mad at God about it. We could be angry with God about it. Or we can have faith to believe that he's in control. And it takes faith to believe that God's always in control. When your world is crumbling apart, when your world around you is falling apart, when you don't know where to look, you don't know where to turn, some of you guys have been in that position. It doesn't matter that you're in middle school. You've been in that position before. The reality of that moment is, do you believe that God loves you and that you can trust him, or do you not? And what Paul is saying here in Ephesians is that you need to take up the shield of faith so that when these fiery darts come at you, when these life circumstances come your way that you can do nothing about, that you can't control, that you can't help always, a lot of things have happened to you guys and it's not your fault. It's things that you have no control over, right? You can still have faith that God listens to your prayers, that God loves you, that God has a plan for you, even in the midst of difficult and challenging circumstances. So he says, take up the shield of faith. And then he says, where is it? The shield of faith, and with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take up the helmet of salvation. The helmet protects our mind, students. A lot of times the way the enemy tries to attack me the most is with my mind. Whether it's thinking things that aren't true, putting my mind on something that's unwholesome. That's a lot of times what his plan is for you too. And when we put on the helmet of salvation, when we put on the helmet of salvation, we can know that protects our mind. That God's word and God's truth protects our mind. And then he says this. He says, take up and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, students, in the scripture, the Bible says it like this. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. See, students, the reason why God's word is so important in this spiritual battle that we face is because it was so important to Jesus. It was the most important piece for Jesus. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was tempted for 40 days and 40, or excuse me, he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. We talked about this before, but I want you to get your mind around this. Fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He's in the desert, he's in the wilderness, and the enemy, the devil, Satan, comes to Jesus. And this is what happens. First, he says this, if you are the Son of God, then tell these stones to become bread. The enemy wanted to attack Jesus where he knew he was weak. I mean, when you fast for 40 days and 40 nights, you're going to be pretty hungry. I mean, you guys, I mean, we don't even comprehend 40 days and 40 nights. But when we fast about anything for an hour, then we're ready to eat a whole bag of chips. You know what I'm saying? And so what the enemy does here is he says, man, I know that Jesus, I know he's got to be hungry. I mean, it's been 40 days and 40 nights, so he comes up to Jesus and he says, hey, if you're really the Son of God, then you can make these stones turn into bread. And then what was he saying to Jesus? Well, you can satisfy your hunger. And what did Jesus say? He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. What did Jesus quote? He quoted Deuteronomy 8:3. He quoted scripture back to the enemy. So the enemy comes and tempts him. Jesus quotes scripture back to the enemy. And then a second time. So then he comes back to Jesus. He says, if you're the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. And then he actually quotes a passage of scripture and he says, because the Bible, doesn't the Bible say if you throw yourself down, then the angels will lift you up? So what the enemy was trying to do is take scripture. Jesus took scripture so the enemy would take scripture and try to defeat him. And Jesus just did it again. He said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. What did he quote? Deuteronomy 6:16. Then a third time, the enemy comes to Jesus. He says, all of this, he's out looking over a ravine. He says, all of this stuff, every bit of this will be given to you if you just bow down and worship me. Jesus says, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Deuteronomy 6:13. See, the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, that's what this is. We don't use this book and teach from this book because it's a really good book, students. We use this book, we teach from this book because we believe it has the power to change your life. It has the power to help you in this battle that we're in. So Paul says, put on the belt of truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, put on the helmet of salvation, take up the shield of faith, right? Put on the feet, the gospel of peace, the readiness, so you're prepared, right, to share the peace of Christ where you go. And take up the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. And so, students, what happens is when we, and this is what I've been doing this every morning before I leave my home. Before I leave my home, I will spend time praying to God and I will ask the Lord, I will put on every single piece of the armor. And this is what I'm going to tell you. In this series, in this month, I have felt unbelievable victory in areas of my life. And I think the reason why that is because the armor has been on. That I have put on the spiritual armor so that when I go into the battlefield, I'm prepared. Now, what do you do with all this? It's very simple. Number one, you put on the armor of God every day. Put it on. Some people I know, they put the verse on their bathroom mirror, and as they're getting ready, they pray each verse. They pray each piece of the armor over their life. Some people literally, like physically, act like they're putting on the belt of truth and the helmet of salvation. I mean, whatever fits for you. Taking up the shield of faith. I mean, hey, you might not want to do it in the bathroom at school, but who cares? Who cares? You're putting on the spiritual armor so that when you go into the battle, you can fight. Not only do we pray or put on the armor, but we pray on the armor. We spend time praying, putting on the armor and praying on the armor. Maybe a prayer could be, you know, God, I ask for the shield of faith because I know that the enemy is going to try to shoot all these fiery darts at me today, and I don't know what they're going to be. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I know he's going to try. So, God, I pray that you would help me to have the shield of faith so that when those things come, I can be protected from it. There was a student a couple years ago that really impacted my life. She's now a junior, I think. And she came to me one day because back in 2012, we did a series each week on the armor of God. We called the series This Is War. And we talked about the war that we're in, which is much like we've talked about the past 3 weeks and tonight. But what she told me was she literally, for years of her life, had been doing exactly what I'm telling you to do. She had literally been putting on the armor of God. She had literally been putting it on note cards and index cards, highlighting verses in her Bible. And I mean, it was just so cool. And the coolest part about it is what she told me is that every single day that she prays that prayer and that she prays that armor and that she puts on the armor, some days she'll do it in front of the mirror because she wants to see it go on. Some days it'll just be a prayer that she prays, you know, in her room, in the quietness of her room. But she told me she's never felt more protected. And I want you guys to see her testimony. It's on video, so give me about 2 minutes and check it out.
My name's Ashton Stockdale. I'm 14 years old and I'm in the 8th grade. And I've been going to 12 Stone for about 3.5 years. I first heard about the idea of praying the armor of God over me at the back to school bash in August. And I remember sitting there and the guy was up there talking about how every morning his wife stands in front of the mirror and gets dressed while she's praying the armor of God over her. And I just thought, wow, that's so cool and so unique. And so I went home and I took note cards and I wrote the different pieces of the armor and different adjectives or things that I wanted to do during that day that had to do with me on the note card, and I did a passage of scripture that had to do with that and just a short prayer. And the first morning that I did it, I stood in front of the mirror and I was like, this is so awkward. This is just weird. But then as I started to do it, I realized how much it had helped me. And the truth is, we all go through so many wars. Like mine in particular are doubts and fear and insecurities, and I mean the list goes on. But I've seen how it helps and how it's changed me, and it's made me realize how powerful scripture is. I mean, it's insane. And reading the passage of the armor of God, you know, it sounded cliche at first, but it's become so personal to me to stand in front of the mirror each day when I'm feeling spiritually empty or down or whatever. And I can see it, how it's changed me and how it's made me realize during the day, you know, he's really there. You know, guys, make it your own. That's how I do it. But making it your own and just reading the passage and praying it over your life, it's so powerful. And even though it's just words, like, that's God's word. And it's what he wants us to hear, not just what I want you to hear. Read the passage. It's amazing. And pray about it, because it'll truly change your life.
You know, I want to be honest, like, nobody in here, I mean, nobody can make you pray these pieces of the armor of God over your life. Nobody can make you put them on. Right? But I want you to know the power that comes from doing that. It's not just in the Bible to be there. It's in there because the Apostle Paul knew that in order for you and me to fight in the battle, to be on the battlefield, we've got to have our armor. And so I want to encourage you, as you go to your small groups tonight, you're going to have some time to talk about this. And I want to encourage you, maybe just like Ashton said, figure out what it is for you. How does it work for you? Does it for you, is it putting it on physically in front of the mirror? Is it for you, is it writing it on index cards and just memorizing the index cards and having those in your pocket or having those in your backpack or having those in your locker? For you, is it just spending time praying in your room? Maybe it's for you, it's getting with your friends before school and circling up at your school and literally praying over the armor of God over each of your lives. Maybe one friend takes each piece, and you can do it in so many different kinds of ways, students. And I just want to encourage you to take advantage of what God has given us in the armor. And so here's, as we leave, or as we wrap up, bottom line tonight, the armor of God helps us stand. It helps us stand in the battle. It helps us fight in the battle, right? Let me pray for you, and we'll wrap up. God, you're so good. And Father, I pray for each and every one of these students and leaders as I look around the room. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would just Help them to understand, God, the significance, the importance, Lord Jesus, the power that comes with wearing the armor, with putting on each piece, God. And I pray that as they go to their small groups in just a few minutes, God, that you would allow there to be good discussion tonight. And Father, whatever those fiery darts are that the enemy seems to be shooting at us, God, we pray that you would help us and teach us, God, how to battle those. And so, Father, we love you, we thank you, and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.